this joke. And open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. While you're going there, let me tell you a little story about whenever I was growing up. We had, most of you probably know that I didn't grow up a Christian, but we had a little Baptist church in the community that I grew up with. And somewhere along the line, they had got a hold of a real elaborate manger scene, the creche, the baby Jesus, animals, the figurines, and they'd put it out on the lawn every year. And I can remember going by, and there would be people looking at it. Well, one year in particular, somebody, some heinous individual, stole the baby Jesus out of the manger. Small community as it was, I can tell you that it caused quite a bit of rift. In fact, our principal came room to room in our school and questioned everybody. They said, "We want to know who stole this baby Jesus." I mean, the cops were there, investigated. My dad was the policeman in the town, and so he investigated the baby Jesus being stolen. Well, I can tell you that I know what some of you all are thinking right now, okay? I'm going to say right up front, I had nothing whatsoever to do with this, okay? Which by the end of this story, you'll understand. I had nothing at all to do with it. Christmas came and there was no baby Jesus in the manger. Very disappointing to a lot of people. Jesus was not where he should have been. Jesus was not where he belonged. About a week after Christmas, my best friend invited somebody to go hunting with us. Had never had gone hunting with us before, and he met us out in the woods where with his vehicle, and we went out into the woods and hunted, and we came back a few hours later, and I just happened to be walking by his vehicle, and it was a big old International Harvester van, if anybody knows what that is, International van. It's just a huge boat-looking thing, and I happened to peer through the back window, and there in the midst of all kinds of trash and everything was that baby Jesus. So I knew who it was that had stolen it. And I told him, I said, "You better take that thing back where it belongs." I said, "They're going to throw you in prison for that thing." I don't know if it ever got back where it was, but the moral of that story is Jesus was not where he belonged on Christmas Day. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. And Father, we ask you to bless this word. I pray, Father, that through this word, Lord, you'll get it into our hearts. And Father, through the anointing of the Spirit of God, it'll get a hold of us, God, and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. It says, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed that his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?'" Now this morning you may think that I'm reading something that perhaps doesn't quite fit on a Christmas morning service, but I got to tell you, I really believe that this goes hand in hand where we are today, but I believe that this sermon would preach the other 364 days of the year as well. Folks, many of you have probably come to a place where you can take a little bit of a breath because the rush of the holiday seasons are just about over. Yes? Okay. And in the rush of the holiday seasons, which probably all of us in this room have been affected by it in some way or another, you have to understand that as we go about that hectic pace, getting ready, cooking, and wrapping the gifts, and putting up decorations, and all the various things, you got to know that all of the things that we're doing, they're good, amen? They're right. It's not bad to put up decorations. It's not bad to wrap presents. It's not bad to cook good food. Speaking of good food, we had our family over yesterday, and we had the greatest Christmas meal, tamales and fajitas, and oh, it was so good. Never mind. Okay. All of those things are good. All of those things are right. That can be said about Mary and Joseph in this text that I just got through reading. This text describes what Mary and Joseph are doing. Mary and Joseph, they left their home in Nazareth. They traveled some 70 miles to Jerusalem, and they came to Jerusalem to observe the feast of the Passover. All the Jewish people in that day and time, they were expected to travel to Jerusalem from whatever place that they lived. They were expected not only to do it this time of the year, but they were expected to do it literally three times a year. Three different feasts that they were expected to come and celebrate. The feast would include the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, and this one here, the Feast of the Passover. Mary and Joseph, they were faithful Jews, and so they traveled faithfully to observe the Passover feast. They probably stayed the whole length of the feast, which would have been probably about 8 days. And so in keeping and fulfilling their responsibility, they departed Jerusalem. They packed up. And you got to understand, in that day and time, they didn't travel in a Ford Pinto by themselves. They traveled in a big caravan of people that would have come from Nazareth. They traveled with friends. They traveled with family. There would have been a large group of people that would have traveled together. And it took them many days to travel. And so they packed up all their belongings and they headed back to Nazareth. Going back with friends, going back with family. But as you have already read the text, you know that they made a very crucial mistake. Yes? We had a young couple that went to church with us in Houston, Texas, and they... she was a nurse, and her hospital that she worked at was kind of across town. He was a firefighter. They were just really sweet people. And one morning, they didn't have two vehicles because one was broken down. And so the man was responsible for taking his wife to work and dropping her off. And so they got up at the wee early hours of the morning, I think, you know, like 4:30 or so. And they got all the kids in the car, and they took off. And they get all the way across the city of Houston, and they realize that they had left the baby in the bed at home. I teased them about that for a long time. Mary and Joseph made a similar mistake, but they didn't leave the baby in the bed at home. They left Jesus in Jerusalem. Now, this morning, we're kind of like Mary and Joseph. We are observing a very, very special event, and it's called Christmas. Christmas is a day that's been set aside on our own calendar to literally come together and remember the birth of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all know the birth of Jesus Christ? Pretty good thing, amen? Pretty good thing. Jesus being born, Emmanuel, God with us, that is an awesome thing. And we come together this morning, we've celebrated with songs, and we celebrated with our lives, saying, man, Jesus, thank you so much for coming. And understand this, this morning as we gather together, we've got good intentions, we've got right intentions, and we're doing a good thing, amen? But we got to be careful that in the process of all the good things that we're doing, that we don't make the same mistake that Mary and Joseph made. Mary and Joseph and their family, their friends, they left Jesus. As the caravan left Jerusalem, Jesus must have stayed behind. And Mary and Joseph, listen, Mary and Joseph, they were absolutely oblivious. They were unaware that they were leaving town without Jesus. Wasn't something that they did intentionally. Now hang on to that little line right there. It wasn't something that they did intentionally, yet it happened anyway. And so you have to begin to ask your question, how is it possible that something like this could happen? How is it possible that this couple in Houston could have left their baby in the bed by itself while they went across the town of Houston? How is it possible that Mary and Joseph could have made such a mistake? I think that there's several things that we can look at in this text that give us clues of what it was that contributed. They were all contributing factors, if you would, for them to make the mistake. The first thing that I got to say is, in verse number 44, it says, they supposing him to have been in company. The first problem that they had is they made an assumption. Amen? They assumed that Jesus was somebody else. They assumed that Jesus was with all of his friends, or maybe with his cousins, or I don't know, with his brothers and sisters, but they assumed that Jesus was there. The word supposing here in this verse, it means assume. They assumed that that he was with them. Folks, I believe that there are a lot of people that make some very dangerous assumptions. I really believe there's people out there that think just because they go to church, they're going to make it to heaven. Come on, help me out here just a little bit this morning. I mean, you got good stuff for Christmas. Help me out. I mean, I think there's people out there today that think because they've joined a church and their name is on the membership roster that they're going to heaven. That is a dangerous assumption. Amen? I think that there's people out there today that probably have never even been to church, but they are good people. How many of y'all know there's a lot of good people out there? There's people that don't steal. There's people that don't abuse their family. There are people out there that are just genuinely good people, and they've made an assumption in their hearts that they're going to make it. They're dangerous assumptions, and we can't do that. Assumption is a very dangerous thing. I can tell you the most dangerous assumption that we can possibly make, and it's not assuming that our kid's with us. It's assuming that we have Jesus Christ just because of something we've done in our lives. There's got to be some kind of effort on our part during this time of the year, during the whole year, really. No, let me rephrase that. There's got to be effort on our part throughout our entire lives that we are not forgetting Jesus. I'm serious. How many of y'all know you could go all the way through the Christmas holiday and never even remember Jesus? I mean, we get so caught up with the food and the gifts and so caught up with the season itself that we absolutely forget about Jesus. I'm so thankful that last night we had candlelight communion. This morning we got a Sunday morning service on Christmas Day, and there are people all over this community, all over this United States of America, who have given themselves to a place where saying, man, I'm coming to church on Sunday mornings because it's about Jesus. It's not about the presents. It's not about the food's good, but it's not about the food. We've got to make an effort all throughout our lives that we are not forgetting Jesus. We must not assume that he is with us. We got to make certain that he is with us. Come on. We can't assume that he's with us. We got to make certain he is with us. Let me go just one step further, can I? We have to make certain he is in us. So you got this first problem that they assume, but the next problem that they have is something perhaps all of us here in this place have experienced at one time in our lives or another, and probably all of us have experienced it over the last few weeks, and that is the problem of activity. You see, this caravan, they were traveling in this caravan, family, friends, and I'm certain that there was a lot of talking, there was probably a lot of reminiscing, there was a lot of work to be done, children probably running. Man, children can run everywhere. Did you know that? You know, the older I get, the more I notice that. Whenever I was young, I used to just give them M&Ms and say, go. Children can run everywhere. Yes? Some of y'all are chickens this morning. There's kids running everywhere. There's commotion. There's activity. All of this brought them to a place where I really believe they were preoccupied with all of the activity. And folks, I believe this. I think we can get so preoccupied. We can get so activity-oriented. It can happen to us just like it happened to Mary and Joseph. There's so much activity. There's so many things to get done. So many places to go. So many people to see. Our calendar's full. And if we're not careful, in the midst of all that activity, we can blow it just like Mary and Joseph. We can forget about Jesus. Amen. It's true. It's true. We can just get so busy, so busy, so full of all of, and you got to understand, the food, the activity, all the things that surround Christmas, it's not bad. It's a good thing, amen? It's a good thing, but in the midst of it, sometimes we lose sight of what is so very, very important. We cannot forget about Christ. You know, in this story this morning, there's probably some things that we don't see because the writer of this gospel probably was very benevolent. But I'm just kind of wondering how it was whenever they found out Mary, or whenever Mary and Joseph found out that Jesus was missing. Can I ask you this? Who do you think found out first that Jesus was missing? Come on. Come on, ladies. Mary noticed it first. Amen? And she went to Joseph and she said, "Joseph, where's Jesus?" And what did Joseph say? "I thought he was with you." And Mary said, "I thought he was with you." And all of a sudden, I know that some of you all are think this is sacrilege, but I think Mary and Joseph had a little bit of a snit. I think they had an argument. I think that perhaps some of their relatives began to kind of move softly away from wherever it was they were standing by the llama. By the llama. I have an idea that there was a point in time where they were trying not to have been the one who was accountable for the mistake. Does that make sense? How many of you all like to just receive all the blame for making a mistake? I don't. I try to pin it on somebody else. Can I just tell you this? I mean, for years in our house, everything that went wrong, most part, we blamed it on Corey. Said Corey did it. And I'm going to tell you, about half the time, we got it right. But I have to tell you this as well. He's moved out, and he's not there hardly any anymore. And we still blame it on him. It works for me and Caleb, and his mom doesn't argue with it. So I said, "Corey did it." Because we don't like to take responsibility. We don't like to accept the problem that sometimes accountability brings to our life. "I thought it was you. I thought it was with you. I assumed he was there. I thought maybe you gave him permission to go with some friends. I didn't give him permission. I thought you gave him permission." Can I just tell y'all something? Each one of us in this room, we are completely, absolutely accountable for our own relationship with Jesus Christ. I will tell you this, folks, whenever you stand before the righteous judge of the universe and he's asking you why it is that you've done what you've done, you have rejected his love, you have rejected his grace, and you say, "Listen, the reason that I did it is because I went to church one time, but somebody really hurt my feelings, so I never went back to church." Let me just tell you something. It's not going to fly. God's not going to say, "Oh, well, let me find out who that was. I'm really going to give them a piece of my mind." He's not going to say that. He's going to say, "Listen, you are accountable. It's not because of what somebody did to you." Are y'all with me? I mean, we can make up all kinds of excuses today. We can deny. We can be somebody that just tries to escape being accountable for our relationship. But ultimately, folks, it's all about whether or not we make the decision. We are accountable for that decision. Folks, y'all know we as moms and dads, we've got to be accountable. We've got to make certain that we don't forget about Jesus. We must not leave him out of our lives. We got to take a look at our lives and say, "Man, is Jesus with me?" You know, I think there's a tendency sometimes to, you know, I mean, for heaven's sakes, folks, you're not going to come to church and leave Jesus out of it. Are y'all with me? I mean, you're going to take Jesus with you to church, yes? You're going to take Jesus to church with you, amen? Good. But sometimes whenever we go to work, a lot of times we leave Jesus home. Come on. "I'm going to work. There's no room for Jesus in my work." These young people sitting in this room, maybe it's school. I'm not going to take him to school. We've got to look at our lives and we got to say, "Listen, I'm going to take Jesus with me everywhere. And I'm going to be accountable for that." I mean, you got to begin to ask yourselves a question. Is it possible? Is there just the slightest bit of possibility with everything going on that there are places in our lives that perhaps we've forgotten Jesus? Just like in that manger scene that played out in the community I grew up in. Jesus was not where he was supposed to be. And now, y'all need to kind of fast forward a little while, because how many of y'all know Jesus really isn't supposed to be in the manger anymore? And now I want to fast forward even past that, because a lot of people still have Jesus on the cross. And how many of y'all know he's not on the cross anymore? Amen. Let me tell you where Jesus is supposed to be today. Are y'all with me? Now, this is a good one. You can write this down. You can take notes. You can say this to your friends and neighbors all whenever you're eating a Christmas meal. Jesus is supposed to be in your heart. That's where he belongs. Well, I'm thankful for that Mary and Joseph were probably pretty good parents, even though they left him in Jerusalem. Let me just tell you something, folks. If I did that to my kids, you guys would probably fire me as a pastor. I won't tell you about whenever they were younger. I threatened one of my kids one time out in the middle of Montana, in the middle of nothing. I said, if you don't quit that, I'm going to kick you out of the car. He didn't quit. I kicked him out. It was awesome. Should have seen his face whenever I drove off. And now, because he's grown, he tells me, he says, listen, I almost just ran up into the woods and got lost. It'd have freaked you out. He was too scared. There was bears up there. One of the members of our church came driving by right after I kicked him out. We're gone. And sees him walking down the road. Didn't even stop and pick him up. He figured it was something going on. That was hard to explain. Mary, I'm not putting any names with this. They've all had their moments, let me just say that. Mary and Joseph did the right thing. Mary and Joseph looked for Jesus. Once Joseph and Mary discovered that Jesus wasn't with them, they somehow or another, he had been left behind in Jerusalem. They focused their attention on finding him. In other words, they said, listen, man, he's not here. We've got to find him. He's not here. These parents of Jesus, what every loving mom and dad would do once they discovered that Christ wasn't among them, they turned all of their attention away from everything else. They dropped everything that they were doing and they began to look for him. They searched for him among family members, among friends. They went throughout the whole caravan. You got Jesus with you? Got Jesus with you? Got Jesus with you? Got Jesus with you? Everybody answering no. And this is what it says in verse 45. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. Now, you have to understand, they're a day's journey from Jerusalem already. And they about face, they get on their llama, and they... I love that. That's going to stick for a long time. They rode that llama back to Jerusalem looking for Jesus. Now, y'all may think this was easy. But once they got to Jerusalem, they didn't just meet up with down at the Quickie Mart. They looked for him for 3 days in Jerusalem. Have y'all ever lost something that's important? And you went to somebody and you said, I've lost my keys. And they make a statement like this to you. They say, well... where did you have it last? Are y'all there with me? The ones that didn't laugh, you're the ones that say that. I mean, that's a duh. You know, duh, where did I have it last? If I knew where I had it last, I wouldn't have lost it. I would remember right where it's at. I'd go there and get it. I wouldn't even involve you in this whole sequence of events. I imagine during the time that Mary and Joseph are going around Jerusalem for 3 days looking for Jesus, there were a lot of people say, well, where'd you see him last? Where'd you have him last? They looked for Jesus for 3 days, and this is the good news in this whole story. They finally located Jesus. They located Jesus in an appropriate place. It says after 3 days, they found him in the temple. He's sitting in the midst of all the leaders, and they're listening to them. He's asking them questions. They found Jesus right where they left him. You'll always find Jesus. I will tell you this. You will always find Jesus in an appropriate place. He'll always be where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to be doing. They located Jesus, and you know, this is the thing about the end of this text. It says they located Jesus, and he's in the midst of men who were studied men of the word. He's 12 years old. Listen to this. And all these guys are sitting around Jesus, and Jesus is explaining scripture to them. And it says that they were astonished. They were like going, how in the world does this kid know this much? Now, that was kind of like me whenever I was 12. No, I mean, whenever I was 12, what they used to do around me is say, man, how could that kid not know that? Okay, never mind. I knew it wouldn't work. They were astonished. These men, these teachers were astonished at what Jesus was teaching. Jesus entered the world some 2,000 years ago as a babe in a manger. And I can tell you this, he's been astonishing people ever since. Some people try to explain Jesus. Some people try to eliminate Jesus. But there's this group of people that just embrace him. They just embrace him. This morning, as I close this message, I gotta think to myself, and I'm the only one that's really accountable to myself. And I have to ask myself, have I done what Mary and Joseph did? Have I left Jesus behind? You know, the other part of that story, you know, the kids told it well this morning. You know, the innkeeper. You know, because it's not just this Mary and Joseph leaving him behind, but, you know, the innkeeper played a real significant role in the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, I like the kids knocking on the door, you know, door open. That was great. You know, we need a room. Well, we don't have a room. We're going to put you down there in a cave to have Jesus. Now, I just wonder for a moment if the innkeeper knew. Now, I'm just taking a grasp out here. But if the innkeeper knew that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of this universe, was fixing to be born, be made flesh on this earth, I wonder if the innkeeper wouldn't have said, hey, you come in, you take my room. I'd never, ever send you out to the stable to have this baby. Are y'all with me? In other words, see what the innkeeper did, and man, he takes a lot of flack from this for all over the years, you know, because if you ever seen him portrayed in a Christmas musical, one of the things that you'll see him is he's usually kind of a guy that you don't like. There's no room. Move on. The mistake the innkeeper made was he didn't make room for Jesus in his life. You see, I believe that's one of the most fatal flaws that humanity can make. Forgetting to bring Jesus with us, not allowing him to have room in our lives. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. You've heard the story of Jesus being left behind. They forgot about him. The little story about the innkeeper not making room for him in his life. But this morning, I believe that there's something that all of us have to hear, and that is, don't be a procrastinator. I know that in my own life, I can say that I'm certainly guilty of being a procrastinator. I've been guilty many times of waiting to the last minute. Is there anybody in this room that would join me with an amen? Let me tell you what I do. I convince myself that there's still plenty of time. Anybody? And then right at the last minute, I find myself under the gun. I'm rushing around. I'm trying to get something done. I'm trying to get somewhere on time. Y'all understand? And in the midst of all that, I foolishly, and you got to understand this. This is what procrastination is all about. I foolishly convince myself that I have plenty of time. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever it comes to eternity, and really that's the reason that we're here today. Because this life that we're living, it is all about eternity. It's all about whether you are going to spend eternity in a place of punishment or you're going to spend eternity in a place of blessing, a place that is unbelievable in the presence of Almighty God. That's what it's about. There's been too many people throughout the course of my own life that I've had the privilege of knowing their lives, and they have said, listen, I have plenty of time to make that decision. I have plenty of time to bring Jesus into my life. Let me tell you what that is. That's insanity. It's insanity. Whenever it comes to salvation, I think that there's a delusion that oftentimes we get a hold of in our own lives, and we just think we have plenty of time. It's something that I can put off. In Isaiah chapter 55, this is what it says. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him whenever he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will freely pardon. You see, this scripture right here seems to imply there would come a time whenever the Lord would not be found and the Lord would not be near. And so this morning, I gotta just say this to all of us that is in this room. The longer that we put off coming to Jesus Christ whenever he calls to us, I believe it is the harder our hearts can become. And whenever our hearts become hard, his voice seems to get faint. He becomes distant to us somehow. And you have to understand, it's not because he's moving away that he becomes distant. It's because we are moving away from him. And whenever we move away from him, I really believe that we're taking a huge risk. I think that whenever we move away from him, this risk involves closing ourselves off completely to the calling of God on our hearts to repent. All of us in this room know a little bit about things. Some of us in this room know a lot about things. But there's one thing that nobody in this room knows. Nobody. You could have gone to the highest place where you could get education, and they cannot teach you this. What it is that no one in this room knows is the last day that they will be on this earth. You just can't know that. For some of us in this room, tomorrow could be the last day. For heaven's sake, I guess some of us could be today. Some of us, maybe 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, we just have no way of knowing. And so this morning, if you are in the midst of doing what I do sometimes, procrastinating, I urge you not to procrastinate any longer. Today is the day of salvation. If you've known the Lord at one time in your life and you've kind of moved away because your life has gotten hectic and, I don't know, you found yourself in the same place that Mary and Joseph were and you've just left Jesus, let me tell you something. He's right where you left him. But as of this moment right here, it's not too late to make a decision to follow Jesus. It's not too late to make a decision to follow Jesus. It's not too late to make a decision to bring him into your life. So this morning, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes in this sanctuary, because I think it would be amiss on this beautiful Christmas Sunday morning to exit this church building without giving an invitation for anyone in this room that would say, Pastor, Things have gotten busy in my life. It's not just this Christmas holiday, but it's just things. And I really believe that I'm guilty of doing what Mary and Joseph did. I really believe that I've kind of left him. And now you have to understand this morning, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I'm not talking about somebody perhaps that you've fallen away and you've backslidden, but I'm just saying that Jesus does not have the place in your life that he needs to have. Perhaps there's folks in this room that would say, Pastor, I have left him behind. I knew him as a teenager. I knew him as a young person, but I've just gotten so busy. I just have not had time. I don't really have a lot of excuses, but I know I've left him. Or maybe you're like the innkeeper and you just say, I've never made room for him. I've never made room for him. So this morning, my question goes out to everyone in this sanctuary. Would you just give a moment's thought to discovering the Jesus of Christmas? Or maybe I should say it like this. There are some in here I know that you need to rediscover the Jesus of Christmas. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as I pray a prayer in just a moment, you can get right with God. You can say, Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died for me, and I accept your forgiveness, and I want to live for you. If you're one that is born again already, but you've just kind of not made room for him in your life, you kind of left him behind as Mary and Joseph did, during this prayer, I believe there's a way for you to find him right where you left him. And understand this. Whenever you find him, you will find amazement in how good he is and how full of love he is and how wide open his arms are to receive you and to bless you. He's not going to walk you through days of punishment. He's not going to ground you because you left him. He's just going to say, my son has come home. My daughter has come home. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and if anyone in this room is in the position of perhaps leaving Jesus in a spot you shouldn't have left him, and you need to reclaim that relationship, this is your opportunity. If you need to accept Jesus as for the very first time, this is your opportunity. So as I pray, I'm going to encourage you to pray as well. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those in this room, Father God, that need to reconnect.